invisible airwaves crackle with light with Five from the Five Hole, faxes from UncleDale.com's weekly podcast, semi-weekly. I am Sam Fells, your host.
We bristle with the energy, goddammit.
Indeed, we do bristle with the energy. I am Sam Fells, your host, formerly of Deadspin, now unaffiliated. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at Fellsgate. We are doing our Hawks season wrap-up, post-mortem. We're sort of getting ready for the draft. We got baseball stuff.
We got grave dancing to do.
We've got grave dancing to do. Slack is waylaid by Reynaldo Lopez. We got so much to do here, so we better get through it, which of course means we are the usual crew is here. We are in fatal four-way formation, starting with the aforementioned Dr. Viral. He is the biggest jackass, no-talent jackass in the business. And he is the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night. He is Andrew Cieslak.
Let's make some friends tonight, gentlemen.
Let's do our best. You can find Slack on Twitter and Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. He's Matt McClure.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. You can find Matt on Twitter at Matt_McClure_. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And last but not least, he is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park, and it takes him 10 minutes to turn his computer on. He's Fifth Feather John.
I didn't even get to my review of the League of Extraordinary Ministry Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Do you want to lead off with that?
Yeah, we can do that. Richard Roper was in my showing, so, you know, all the
celebs. Was that as big a thing as when you watched the draft with Jay?
Not nearly as big, no.
You know, Richard Roper is a great writer. If you don't believe it, just ask him.
He was out there by himself. Just
Mr. Roper, Mr. Roper.
He was sniffing his own farts out of a brandy snifter.
Yeah, that's why he was sitting by himself.
That guy's a bozo.
He is. He was in Las Vegas Raiders attire.
What?
Yeah.
Bitch.
that's my review.
Raider
of
bitch.
Your review?
No, the movie was fine. If you're into Guy Ritchie joints, then you'll enjoy it.
So basically, my assessment was correct. It's if Guy Ritchie did Inglourious Basterds.
Or Guy Ritchie wasn't allowed to do a James Bond movie, so this was his
version
of making a James Bond movie.
Did he steampunk the shit out of it or no?
No, not really. A little bit.
Do a James Bond movie.
Cavill wears a Nazi leather jacket and hat because he likes the submarine captain jacket, so he wears one in the movie. But that's the extent of his.
And how was Isaac Gonzalez?
Very nice.
Oh boy. All right, should we get
And that was my review of the League of Extraordinary Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Fair.
Bastards.
Bastards. I guess that means we need to get back to the toy department, the old sports-a-roo, as some people.
Doug,
like to refer to it. You guys want to start with the Hawks, even though they're currently playing Game 81? We're calling the season over. This is it. We're not doing this next week. Yeah,
we've all got. Let's talk about what we just witnessed.
Yeah, John has booted up a discussion I was having with Jay Zawoski earlier today on Twitter, now known as X.
It's the everything site. Give them your bank information.
I didn't think I was saying anything too outlandish, but apparently I was wrong. John, kick us off, because Slack's too high.
Well,
I'm just getting caught up to speed here, Sam. So okay. It looks like we're throwing rose petals out to Kyle today because he drafted Frankie the Nose, who scored on his first shift. So that means he's already
he's on the team for next year.
Do you want to know how you know that's why? Because nobody was saying this until it happened. No yep. one.
You have throwing rose petals because Sam Rinzel. Had a good year at NCAA Division I. Ethan Del Maestro, the maestro, who's renting out his house in Tuscany.
You can also call him Del there's Masco, there's funky nowhere, Homo sapien, if you'd like. But
there's nothing available for rent, John. I've told you this.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, he's not renting his house in Tuscany, but he's got a place in Rockford that you can rent out. He was an all-star this year in the
AHL.
So he's a made man. He's good.
They can trace like Del Mastro. They can trace his lineage back to Tuscany. That's why he's
Isaac
made.
Isaac Phillips on this list.
Thank you.
As a U23 young core. No, he's not on. And any list that Isaac Phillips is on, you don't want to be on.
He's
on
the only
core he needs to be on is one that's getting dipped with control rods.
Bad core, bad list.
I see Landon Slaggart on this list.
John's Landon. John's
Yeah, that's your guy. Against
Calgary once, and then he's been not hasn't been seen
that,
since.
That goal against St. Louis was nice.
They were down to five.
Matt, as we like to say.
Score effects, bitch.
Right, and when did that do it when it matters.
And who care?
Right. So I see a lot of names on this list that Kyle is getting credit for haven't really
done
anything.
Haven't done anything. No. Right.
John, you know what it reminds me of? And all Kyle has really done at this point is given himself a lot of spins at the wheel through prospects and draft picks. They have a lot of draft picks. They have
which
a lot of kids we don't know anything about.
Yes, that's
which
great.
Is fine. But it's basically the line of dialogue from Seinfeld. Anyone can just take them. It's the holding that really matters. Any GM out there can trade for a bevy of people on a prospect list.
Can do a teardown.
Any GM can trade for a bunch of draft picks. But until they are something, the grade is incomplete. Now, that doesn't mean I think Kyle is a moron. I don't know. I'm encouraged by some of the things I've seen, discouraged by others. But this idea that, like...
Like burning three games for Frank Nassar.
Right. It's kind of the same thing with people who post the hashtag Jed's World, although Jed Hoyer is probably a little farther along than
I also think
Kyle
that's, is that not ironic?
No, I think people really believe it.
Ugh, I don't.
They're really truly sick, but like it's a small percentage.
All right.
You know, like Bedard landed in your lap, and hey, that's the hardest part of any rebuild is the genuine top echelon number one center in the Hawks have it. Like everything else should be easier than that because if you can't get one of those, you're always looking for one. The Hawks don't have to look for one. But that's not really a test of his skill as a GM. But you know, it's just how debates and discussions have devolved these days. Where if I say, "Hang on, I don't think he's proven to be a genius architect," well, then I must think he's a moron. No, I don't. I just think his grade is incomplete, and I'm as we've said for 2 years, 3 years, God, almost 4 years now. I'm a little bit skeptical because of the process that he was hired. The Hawks had multiple chances to bring in an outside pair of eyes, do things differently, and at every opportunity they hired the guy who was just standing there already. I don't know that makes him particularly qualified, but he's there now. I want him to do well. I want good hockey to watch. But listing out all these things that could go right does not mean they've gone right.
He's put himself in a very actionable and positive position. But again, John and I are White Sox fans. So.
He's behind Ryan Poles, if you were to compare it that way. You know, Ryan Poles lined up a bunch of draft picks and a bunch of kids we thought might be good, but a lot of them have started to turn a corner. Now, football's different than hockey. You draft a guy, immediately walks into your team. We get quicker results, and maybe that's the difference.
Well, because you're drafting more adult young men.
But there's no minor league system either.
Ryan Poles is leading number one picks overall 2-1.
Indeed.
Well, I mean, give it a couple weeks. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah, it could match up.
That's true. Hey, look. I won't be mad.
They haven't actually set a date.
Everyone else will, but I won't be.
Oh, I'll be delighted. So yeah, that was my discussion with Jay, but he seems to take a lot of people on that list that has Isaac Phillips on it. And everyone else on that list is like, hey, get me off this list.
And Jay's the guy who's seen every single game. So he's well aware that Isaac Phillips stinks.
He's watched every game probably multiple times.
And apparently Kyle has won every trade he's ever made. Did I see that correctly too?
Right. Except I can't name one.
Yeah, what trade? I don't remember one trade other than the Hagel trade.
The Hagel trade's the only one I can think of.
Did he win that? Brian Hagel's pretty good.
I don't think so.
That's incomplete.
It's not incomplete. He can't win that trade.
Well, they have two first round picks.
He probably won the Kirby Doc trade.
That was Korch?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Korch, I think it's Korch and someone else too.
Oliver Miller?
Wasn't it Zaitsev?
No, that was someone else.
Many trades with the Senators.
The Brandon Hagel trade.
I got it. I'm pulling.
Brandon Hagel trade was for a fourth round pick that year with Kenny Connors. No one's ever heard of him.
No.
Kenny Powers.
For a fourth round pick in this
a transcend race, hombre.
Fourth round picks sometimes become something, more often don't. So we'll see. Taylor Radish and Boris Kachuk, who both blow.
Kirby Doc became Frankie the Nose and something named Gavin Hayes.
Oliver Moore and a first rounder this year. So we'll see what the first
round is. Okay, so Oliver Miller could turn out to be decent, and this other kid, whoever the hell he is.
Oliver Moore turns out to be decent, it'll be Brandon Hagel.
But a Brandon Hagel
at that point.
At the right time.
Right, yeah. Brandon Hagel when he makes sense to have on the team.
Yes. I mean, I will say, again, I'm not somebody who thought the Brandon Hagel trade was a bad idea.
No, I liked it at the time, and I'm not saying this trade is a loss, but this he got the
first round picks because he was cost controlled too. And did Kyle or Stan sign that long term $1.5 million?
Stan did.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a loss, but like to just he's won every trade. I mean, like, okay. Where are these people?
Well, he also said Taylor Hall was a big free agent acquisition that they made.
He was a trade.
Oh, a trade that they won, clearly. Taylor Hall played
eight games they got?
Half a game, yeah. Big win.
Big, huge awesome. Win.
Korch was the DeBrinket trade.
You know why he thinks they won the Taylor Hall trade? Because Foligno...
Foligno what?
Part of that trade. Yeah. Well, Korch, DeBrinket, okay. I mean, I was just
okay. They straight up fucking won Dickinson and a second for Riley goddamn Stillman. That's highway robbery. That's a good trade.
Yes.
That's an unequivocal win.
You need more of those. Yep.
You need more of those.
Yeah, he does. He needs a lot more of those. But that was his response to you suggesting that he needs to take a big swing through a trade because there are no free agents anymore. And if there are, you're not giving one of them term now.
The boat.
Right. So I don't know what hypothetical free agents people think the Hawks are supposed to go sign. Right now, no chance Kyle Davidson gives anyone like 4 or 5 years or more. So,
they've said as much.
Yeah, I think that's how I know. They say they don't want to do it.
Sam Reinhart is up for the boat right now. That's probably the biggest name at 55 goals and unrestricted.
Yeah, but you don't have Sasha Barkov to go with him.
Yeah, that's a problem. Stamkos, they'll figure that out.
Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. I don't know where Stamkos would fit on this roster. He's not the Pats' first winger.
34.
Right. So.
No.
My point was
that means the boat goes to Tavo.
It's fine. It's hard to explain on Twitter, but like if you look at the Hawks now,
and we'd rather not.
No, we'd rather not. But long term, they have basically a top four defense. But I'm looking at the top six wingers, and there's maybe two. You know, it's McDavid, Bedard, and maybe Gabe Barr, but like. Other than that, you know, Taylor Hall is not a long-term solution. Phil Kurashev is not a top six winger. I'm glad he can moonlight there, and that'll come in handy down the road. But he's a third-line guy.
The garbage nephew, probably not.
If he were going to be, I think we'd know by now. So now if you think Oliver Moore and Ryan Green and Slaggard and whatever other morons I've heard about who are lighting it up in their junior year in college or whatever.
Rinzel.
What's that?
Rinzel.
He's a defenseman.
Rinzel's a defenseman.
Whatever that is. Oh, he doesn't count as a guy?
No, he doesn't count. Not for forwards. Although, forwards, I'm sure McClure's season ticket buddy's father will have Rinzel being moved forward after his 10th game in the league.
Just like he did Duncan Keith.
Just like he did Duncan Keith. You know, if you think they're going to plug all those holes, like those four holes from within, okay, great. I tend to doubt it. So the only way you're going to get a genuine top line winger in here is probably via trade, and you're going to have to give up someone you care about to do it. I don't know who it is. You know, I was looking at the Lightning. If they go belly up next year,
Not a lot in the RFA market either, unless Kepo Kekko does anything for you.
I think we've spent enough airtime on Kepo Kekko. Natchez
maybe, but they've got room. They've got cap room. So
I don't want to sit here and just shit on the Hawks and tell you it's never going to be better. That's not what I want to do, and I don't believe.
I don't think you believe that at all.
I don't.
Yeah.
But I just have I feel like I have a better sense than most to talk about it, but what it's going to take.
Jay is doing upside evaluation on everyone. And yeah, there's a lot of upside with all these guys, but like they're children. So of course they're going to have fucking upside. So like, but eventually, like, and this is what we talked about a couple eps ago. It's been hazy just because of travel schedules and, you know, red carpet premieres and shit. whenever we talked about Bedard going to the Worlds, like, you'll see him with actual adults there. And you can see what he is probably actually capable of, and maybe develop some chemistry there, like whatever. But like, you're going to have to, you can't do this again. You know, everyone's just shitting on the Sharks. That's why they should, for having like the worst goal differential in like the salary cap era. But like, the Hawks are only like four slots behind them in that, having looked at that infographic today. So yeah, like it's got to be better than this, and it's going to take, it can't all be lottery ticket children. It's going to have to be, and you can't count on Taylor Hall for anything. You can count on him for a maximum of like 45 games.
45 games. Anything else is a bonus. However, this is the flip side is what I really wanted to discuss tonight. Because we keep saying, you know, you can't do this, you can't be this again, you can't do this. And then we go around and say, well, there are no free agents, you can't get free agents. I don't know, I can't say for sure that this isn't the only way that you can build a team in the NHL these days, because you just don't get, you know, unless you're Vegas, you just don't get players who are available. Well,
they're going to have to jettison somebody. They're giving fucking Noah Hanifin 8 goddamn years.
Right, but they'll jettison someone who's old and probably not applicable to the Hawks. I mean, maybe this is just how the Sabres and Senators and Iser plan and all the rest of them, who we keep helping, even my Devils, keep wanting to make the leap. It's just so hard. You know, the Devils got to sign Palat, but he might actually be turning.
Well, I mean,
that's
the thing too, is like, speaking of Palat and your Devils and then therefore Tampa, you've got to have an excellent draft eye, and you can't call any of those out and out wins yet. You know, you have to, like, no one ever has, and probably no one ever will again, find a fucking 100 assist man, Nikita Kucherov, in the second goddamn round. But like, that's how they did it.
I mean, I'm sort of curious if the Hawks missed out on Casey Milstead. Was that something they should have had an eye on?
Well, he is an RFA poach candidate. He's up at the end of this year.
Right,
so.
But he was, you know, with all their defensive prospects who they can't wait to tell us about, who aren't going to fit on the roster. I wonder, it's hard not to worry that the Hawks will end up in the same cycle where, yeah, they amass all these young players and they just can't take the next, the big leap, because you just, like Marian Hossa these days would not be a free agent.
No.
You know, you wouldn't be able to trade for Martin Havlat, which we forget about, and how important he was to the 08-09 team. Brian Campbell, does he make it to free agency today, given how much importance is played on puck-moving defensemen? I doubt it.
He's only a third-pairing guy, so, you know.
Right. You know, I mean, most of those trades, I guess, are made mid-season. I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't disagree with the approach that Kyle has taken. You know, I'm you want to give yourself as many spins, like that's what you have to do.
But you have to have a fucking killer amateur scouting department. And we don't know. There's no way to know that yet.
We don't know that yet. But yeah, I mean maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but like there is going to have to be a trade. You're going to have to find a team that starts to flounder like the Penguins this year, and well, almost made it anyway, and get yourself, you know, Jake Guentzel or something like that in a year or two. But I still think you can't roll out next year and be in the top five in the lottery again. I don't think you can do it, because that'll mean that like none of the guys you were counting on are any good. Like if they're a top five lottery team again, that means Korch hasn't taken a step, Vlasic hasn't taken a step, Wyatt Kaiser hasn't taken a step, Del Mastro, the Homo Sapien, hasn't taken a step,
Mr. Bob Dabalina hasn't taken a step,
right? Like,
I think we've said that.
There's been no Meso for Camesso.
Sam, I think next year you have to start to see some of the growth. You have to at least be in the hunt, to speak.
Mm-hmm. Coming down to some bullshit like what happened tonight.
Right.
You have to be in John's hunt.
Yeah. I don't even 27 don't regulation really... wins and a bunch of shootouts, that's fine. I'll take that. And you're playing into the last day of the season. That'd
be fantastic
growth
for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, you can't be a top 5. You can't be in the lottery again next year. So,
especially if you get another year like this out of Mrazek. Like, truth be told, he's like way overperformed. And it's kind of stupid that they didn't trade him.
Sixth or seventh goalie that we've said has overperformed as a Hawk with Stefan Waite as your goaler coach.
Oh, you got the goaler lab.
Whatever.
Whichever Waite is back there, the goaler lab.
I think they both got their goaler lab.
Goaler lab isn't that like a bumper sticker you see on like F-350s?
No, it's an Adult Swim cartoon.
It's Jimmy Waite, by the way.
It is. Okay. Well, that's fine. Well, I think Stefan Waite and Jimmy Waite are the same person anyways. I think that like Stefan was his alter ego and
what is this, Family Matters?
What are the odds you have two goalies that say, with that name that aren't related?
Well, they were related.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Jimmy was the only one that had NHL success, so it was always weird that Stefan was the NHL goaler coach, in my opinion. And then he, you know, got told to go do one, and then Jimmy stepped in. So to me, it just seems like they were always the same person, and they just, you know, one was his alter ego, and the other one's his actual personality.
I'm still waiting. We wouldn't have to sort this out if it were just Mitch Korn.
No, but either way, you know who they've had like four or five guys that have come in here that you've said, okay, their career's over and they suck, and then all of a sudden they turn around and they have one of the best years of their
Ray M. Murray, Sky Point.
So I think at this point it's not a coincidence that the Hawks have a decent track record of turning around goalers, developing goalers.
They have a goaler infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. They got a great goaler infrastructure. So that, to me, is an organizational strength. And that's one of the reasons why I think that the lottery should not be even in the picture next year. That's why I think my peppers were so hot a few weeks ago when in Scott's column where he said that, well, you know, the Hawks aren't even going to be competing at the trade deadline next year, and they don't expect to compete next year. Well, what the hell is that? How can you even claim that? I think that to me, that's where I get a little, my agita and my itchiness starts.
Spilkus.
My spilkus with, you know, everybody saying this is Kyle's world and he's cooking.
You need
whatever.
Sky Rizzy if you've got the itchiness.
Is that good?
Nothing is everything, John.
Okay. That's right.
I'll think about that.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, that's where Jay's thing about, you know, Kyle has made all these moves and the development is
right
on track. That's where I get a little cross-eyed and not necessarily aligned in that opinion, because I think there's just still too much to prove, and they should be on the track of, you know, competing for a playoff spot until the last week of the season next year or thereabouts. And I don't, you know, if you're telling me that Vlasic, Korch, Bedard, Frankie No Nose, all those guys are hits for him next year, they need to be actual NHL contributors. And if they are, that means they're on a good team. Otherwise, it's just eyewash. They're not. I mean, obviously Bedard is good. I think Korch is flashed. I think Vlasic has flashed.
I just want an actual fucking adult as a fucking partner for Korch.
I would argue that Vlasic has done more than flash. He's been.
So you got him penciled. You got him penciled in, penned in with ink, Sam. On
he's,
your depth
he's
chart.
He's penned in with ink on my top four.
Okay.
Until he needs to be a part of a trade package for something really real.
Right. Especially if they end up drafting like the Russian kid at Michigan State. But yeah, he and Korch, top four defensemen going forward.
Ideally, that's your top pairing in
and they don't like that.
Can't live with it. Can't coach him. Can't do it.
You can figure it out. But you know, from Korch, and we as a podcast love Korch, you know, he's got to take a big step next year, not just like strength-wise and being hard to play against in his own zone, but, you know, the flashes
he's looked better. He's just gotten, like, again.
He's got no help.
Less than, it's negative, partner. It's negative help. He's being hindered by what they're partnering. Like, the Connor Murphy injury has seriously stunted Korchinski's growth this year.
Well, I don't know that Connor's health is going to get any better next year.
No, it's certainly not. You cannot rely on that. You cannot rely on that.
So my minimum ask for Kyle in the offseason, if he's not going to actually sign people who matter, is to find a third pairing D-man who's not embarrassing, that you can pair a kid with and aid that kid's development. And when Connor Murphy goes back on the shelf, which we know he will, can slide up on your second pair and not get you killed. That was his failing this year.
I mean, his cousin, Mark Edward Vlasic, couple years left. I mean, that's probably donezo, but still.
He's toast.
It's a lot of hard miles on that.
This is a lot of hard miles.
Hell of a defenseman in his day, but not at 37.
You got to find the proper meat bag. The other thing I was wondering about, and this was probably fit a couple weeks ago, but, you know, after 40, 45 games or so, it was obvious what Vlasic was. You knew what you had. It's like, okay, we've got this kid, and he's going to be pretty good. I'm sort of disappointed that they didn't take 5 to 10 games and then pair Kaiser with Seth Jones, just to see what do we have in this kid if we have an actual partner with him. Because as much as Korch has skated with idiots, Kaiser has skated with bigger idiots.
Well, and he needed more help.
And he needed more help.
He might be a player, but he certainly doesn't have the pedigree that Korch has.
No. So it's like, you know, if we put Vlasic on a third pairing with whatever Smegma idiot, Tenorti idiot we have for 5 to 10 games, it's not going to ruin anything. We already know what we got with this guy. Let's see what we have with Kaiser when he can trust his partner. And he knows his.
He looked better when
he
looked better when he came up, despite still being partnered with fucking jabronis.
He did. But that's the kind of thing I would have liked to have known. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge deal.
And they still really like Nolan Allen too. So.
Well, all these guys don't fit.
Exactly. That's why you're gonna have to trade somebody here.
You're gonna have to package a couple of them and get a real live top six forward that isn't made of balsa wood like Taylor Hall.
The garbage DeBrusque son.
That's fine. We've talked about that.
Can't they just pay him?
They can just pay him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that they need to take it to the last week of the season, but they at least need to tease that they might take it to the last week of the season.
Yeah.
If they fade off in March, okay, cool. Because like, there's no way they can injury proof the team. Like, unless if they build a team next year that absolutely stays perfectly healthy to an unheard of level in NHL season, okay, then
Especially with
you'd
a
better.
team with Taylor Hall and Connor Murphy.
Right, you'd better take it to the last week of the season, but they're never going to be buffeted against a normal amount of NHL season injuries. You just can't do it, not this stage. But even with, you're right, John, even with natural leap growth from all of their young players, like Connor Bedard should be taking a run at 50 goals next year just by natural development.
And someone telling him he needs at least five on net every game.
Yeah, stop passing. Take
To
John's
these
advice from the
dopes.
300 level. Don't you dare pass that buck.
I feel like if he doesn't become like one of those 120, 130 point per season guys, I'd be a little disappointed.
Should be.
That's what
That's
we
what he
were
was billed
sold.
as.
He's the prince who
Yeah.
was promised.
But I mean, I can see where that might be an issue. I mean, there are holes in his game. He's not that quick. And he's certainly not as shifty as Jack Hughes, who's at the same size. So for him to figure out how to get into space, he's going to have to do it another way. Secondly,
Well,
he's not going to be
the
a
fact
fit.
that he can get that shot off basically from and through anywhere.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
isn't that
good.
his advantage over guys who are maybe a little quicker? They
That
don't
is
have
his
his shot.
advantage.
I mean, it's not even, not even
But
close.
it's not like we've seen him bury a lot of goals this year from way out there,
Because
from
he's
odd
deferring.
places. Well, some of it's deferring, and some of it he just hasn't, his shot doesn't have the strength from the odd
Top of
locations
the
to beat
rings.
NHL goaltenders. That doesn't mean it won't. He'll work on
Yeah,
it.
I
He
think it will
probably will.
eventually. Yeah, he's gonna
Yeah,
get
they
it.
will eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing is he doesn't really have much of a one-timer, which hurts him on the power play. That can be developed. But he's going to need that if he's going to be a 50-60 goal scorer, which again is what we were sold. He is not a perfect player. He could be perfect offensive player. But yeah, there's some miles to go there.
No, the perfect player still is in Pittsburgh, sadly.
Yes, well, yes, but I'm still playing like it somehow. He's never going to be that. He's not going to be the defensive player that Crosby is, but yeah, so that's where I'm at. They're gonna have to do something in July, so my rep keeps calling me, get me to re-up my
Well,
five-game
do
package.
what, man? They're not doing
Like,
shit.
I
Draft Celebrini probably is the thing.
mean, that would probably be enough.
That would get me
Hyped.
diped in a good way.
You'd be hyped.
Yeah, but I'd be diped. I'd be so hyped that I'd have to be diped, you know?
You'd be reverse diped of
Yeah.
all the people who are diped at the Hawks got a second consecutive.
What did I
Right.
what did I what did I I'm looking back to see what I called him today, Sam.
Forget.
Macintosh
Choppy butt.
Cannelloni.
Macintosh Cannelloni. So yeah, I don't know. I'm in a weird place with the Hawks. I see what everyone gets excited about, and I'm excited too, but gotta pump the brakes a little bit. Where they're not, there's so much farther to go. And I don't know. Someone have to help me with the Penguins or the Kings, because Jay had mentioned, well, how many draft picks were on the 2010 team? And I'm like,
They're all Mike
I don't.
Smith's picks.
They're mostly Mike Smith's picks, but does that? I mean, is that common? Or is that just kind of a lightning in a bottle? All these guys came good, and then we lost them all in free agency. Like that, your top line, your top pairing, your third defenseman, your goaler eventually, like all draft picks, and then one Patrick Sharp trade that you stole someone for. Is that common? I mean, the Penguins were mostly draft picks, I think.
Tampa's been
Well,
all
here's
draft.
my issue with that, Sam. Why are we comparing this roster to a Stanley Cup team from 15 years ago?
Yeah.
That's problem number
different
one.
Different league.
Yeah. That's where I get so frustrated with Hawks fans trying to analyze what a winning roster looks like, is that
the Hawks themselves fell into that trap for so long.
Everybody's default is, well, this is how we wanted in 2010, so we're going to build that roster the same way, or we're going to fit the pieces the same way that team did.
Do you want to hear the acquired column from the defending Stanley Cup champs?
Who, your Vegas Golden Knights?
Yes.
Yeah,
they
don't count.
Let's go to the Abs then. Let's go to the Abs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a better example.
Rantanen, Sakic, Makar, Taves is not their pick.
Draft, signed. That's Nichushkin. Trade, Lekkonen. Trade, Ross Colton. Trade, Casey Mittelstadt. Signed, Miles Wood.
Well, that's the current Abs. We don't know where they're going. Stanley Cup winning Abs had Kadri was a trade. That's who you have to go back to. Like, this Abs team could easily go out in the first round.
All right. 20.
Anyone can go out in the first round because hockey's dumb.
Hockey's dumb and stupid.
By the way, Andrew, we have our favorite first round matchup in the Eastern Conference.
Rangers Capitals, baby.
Yep.
Seven
they played each other every
loss.
Year for the past 140 years, and nobody can remember a single series.
I can't remember one Rangers Cavs game.
It's slurry. It's fucking slurry.
Where's the number one center of yours scored an overtime game 7 winner? What was his fucking name?
Derek Stepan.
Thank you. Oh.
Okay, Cale Makar, draft pick. Mikko Rantanen, draft pick. Nathan MacKinnon, draft pick. Gabriel Landeskog, draft pick. Valeri Nichushkin. KHL import. No, wasn't he? Didn't he
no,
go
he
off to
star.
Siberia?
He was
yes.
the Stars, and then he went to Siberia, and then he came back.
He was a signing.
Yeah.
Devin Taves was a draft pick, so it was.
Devin Taves was a free agent signing.
From New York. He was an Islander.
No, he was traded from the Islanders. Pretty sure.
But you just said
he's not
draft
their
pick.
Draft pick. I know that much.
Nope.
No, he's not.
He was traded as an RFA.
There you go.
All right, Arturi Lekkonen, trade. Bowen Byram, draft pick. JT Compher, draft pick.
Red Wing star JT Compher.
Josh Manson, trade. Darren Helm, signing. Eric Johnson, trade.
So their top line.
Trade.
And their number one defenseman were draft picks.
Which you can do.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that's what it takes. I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking out of my ass here. What the fuck do I know?
They just need good fucking players. It's not
we're not even playing the most fun game, which is what third liner is Steve Yzerman going to give top six money to this summer?
Top six Tito. Remember him?
Andrew Kopp and then JT Compher. And then who's it going to be? Yeah, I'm going to pull up the free agent list.
He's going to give it to Daniel Sprong, his own guy.
You're probably right.
Probably not Anthony Mantha.
I don't want that fucking guy anywhere near this team. I hate that guy.
Let me see. Well, he might give it to David Perron again.
Wenberg
scored a big goal, which meant nothing.
Victor Arvidsson, maybe.
Victor Arvidsson, yeah, that's a contender.
My guy, Anthony Beauvillier.
Ooh, Tyler Toffoli, who can't move?
Never could.
Is he mean really? To? He's mean to young girls as well.
Is he?
I don't know. Some tweet you guys shared in the Matt. I think you shared.
No, it was Aaron.
Oh, okay, never mind.
It was Aaron or Mike in the Ghoul chat.
Whatever, forget it.
Jacob Silverberg.
No, he's retiring? Like 35 or something.
He's 33.
Retiring, I think. He's 33.
Same thing.
Jacob Silverberg, who is none of our accountant, shockingly.
he could give big money to Jason Zucker. You know he's dying to.
Isn't he like the head of NBC? That's the name of somebody who should be the head of NBC.
It was Mark Zucker.
Same shit. Different shovel.
Shit. All right. I think it's time to put the Hawks in the box, John. What do you think?
Yep. Back
Hawks
in the
box.
In
the box. Very good.
Hawks in the box. By Hawks and
all right, Dr. Seuss, let's get on with it then.
I have no issue with keeping the Hawks in the box all summer long. by the way.
Until we'll bring them on briefly July 1st to see if they do anything.
Right, July 1st and then draft. That's pretty much it.
We'll probably have to do something around the draft.
Stretch their legs a little bit.
We don't know who these people are, but like we'll.
No, they stay in the box.
Max Domi dying to be a wing.
And by the way, since we are transitioning, I do feel like we've done a good job of putting the Bears back in the box unofficially.
Yeah, we have.
Basically, since Fields was traded.
They're about to come out.
They're coming out of the box. Sam.
I'm coming out of the box, too.
Just for a couple weeks.
Yep.
Everyone's excited. I mean, who doesn't get excited about a nice 9?
Gentlemen, I can't decide.
Oh, boy.
If I want the Bears to take one of the three receivers or a lineman on either side, I am completely torn, which I guess means I should be happy no matter what they do. No matter what they decide, right? Like, it's like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I think the only way that I would be itchy would be if the multiple of those receivers and linemen are available when they get there. And it sounds like they might be, Sam, because
people are getting stupid with McCarthy.
Well, with McCarthy, and then, yeah, so you have McCarthy, you've got Daniels, and then you have Drake May,
I've got a small Penix.
And small Penix is still around. So, you know, you got 4 QBs with teams that desperately need quarterbacks in that top 10. And if not, teams that will trade up to get into that top 10 for QB. So meanwhile, you've got, you know, the perverts now are saying that Schuster Jr. all of a sudden is dropping.
Schuster Jr. is not going to be there. Like that. This is one of those crazy draft things that floats like the week before it happens. Like, oh, you know, and it, like, and then like, he gets drafted 3rd, and everyone's like, oh, yeah.
Wait, yeah.
That's how that goes.
That's what Arizona will take him at 4, and people will be like, oh, right. Yeah, somebody like that.
Or someone trades up to 3 to just get him. It's like, mm-hmm. That's how it was always supposed to go.
With the other two receivers, I think they had, like, really good workouts in front of the scouts, and everybody lost their mind over that. And
I did ask on Twitter to one of the Bears dorks, I don't know what official moniker you guys have for Schmitz. He's one of the Bears blogs guy, right?
He doesn't run the Bears blog account.
The Bears dweeb.
Show,
no, he's got his own
show.
He's got his own account, but that's
he's on the
he
show
writes.
But it's not his show, Sam.
Is that where his stuff is?
What do you keep saying that for?
He loves
the Dick Duran thing.
So I'm still jittery about the offensive line, but I want to know how much better the offensive line will look.
Yes.
If Caleb Williams comes up and he throws on time. Now, we don't know for sure because he had a habit holding the ball at USC because he could. Because who the fuck cared?
If they draft an offensive lineman, I'm going to be mad.
You're going to be mad. You've decided you're going to be mad.
Yeah, I'm going to be mad.
Okay. Why?
In the first 2 picks, that's what I'm saying. If they get one later, fine.
No, we're only talking about 9. We know what they're doing at 1.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about it.
Fair enough.
It's decided.
It's no, done.
It's
by
done,
the way, apparently
over.
I'm seeing on the Twitter right now breaking news. Apparently, Slack's beautiful son, Cody Bellinger, is hanging dong out there due to tearing his awesome pants.
Yeah, the very well made baseball uniforms.
Yeah. He slid, so naturally his pants are ripped into shreds. Pieces of fucking garbage.
What a garbage league.
Can't wait for them to be the official fucking Taylor of the NHL next year.
That's gonna be special. We'll get to that. But anyway, it's done, it's over. You don't want an offensive lineman at 9. You've decided.
Yeah, I don't want that. I think if they get – I want a wide receiver badly because then they're loaded and they're ready for Keenan Allen's departure, which I assume
they
will
are.
Be next year. They can't not get
a guy.
Here
for the year.
Yeah, well, and if he's not, fine, but whatever. You assume he's leaving, plus he's old. You need someone.
Yeah, he's right at the fall-off age, whether it's 31, 32, whatever it is.
I'm not going back to Gary Penis as wide receiver number 3. We're not doing it.
What if they take a defensive line?
By the way, have we talked about? We haven't talked on air about the speaking of uniforms and Gary Penis. that Caleb's going to go with 18 because Keenan Allen has got dibs on 13 for the year.
Well, my opinion is they should have retired it for Tomczak, but they didn't. So whatever.
They didn't. Okay.
Even Kyle Ortman was a miscarriage of justice, my friend.
Sidebar. What kind of wailing are we going to hear if he wears 18 his rookie year and then switches to 13 his second year? And all the people who went out and bought the 18 are going to have, or is he going to have to do something where, like, I will pay for anyone who wants to switch?
I don't know. Because
players do that. Players do that. Like, they
know when you switch numbers, you have to buy back from the manufacturer all the stuff that's already in inventory.
Yeah.
Right. But then there are also players who are like, any fan who comes in and wants to exchange, I'll pay for it. Players have done
yeah,
that.
I've seen that. Yeah.
And he makes so much already from NIL and all that. He's got cash. But yeah, you can already hear the calls to the midday show. you can already hear it.
That's exactly right.
That's right. I want him to wear 18 forever. Back, so Parkins
back
like a
to Andrew's
moron.
Thoughts at 9.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Back to real Jesus. Thoughts.
So you want the wide receiver? Right. Would you be sad? Would you be okay with a defensive edge guy?
Yeah, I would.
Any of those three?
Yeah, I would because that's another thing that's just gonna like
that's a commodity.
That's a noticeable game changing move. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like
there are camp/cap casualties at the edge. That you could probably patch that with.
I'm not here for patches, or but patches I'm, of Houlihan.
Yeah, what you know, do we, what a patch is one of these receivers. They're
no, it's not.
What if they get the wide receiver at 9, and then they get too drinky, too drivey, Texas 3 technique later.
Yeah, later. Fine. I don't care what they do after 9. I only care about 9.
Apparently, this is a top-heavy draft.
I only care about 9. Okay. But I care about the whole thing.
Andrew Cieslak, size queen over here.
We know what like Paul's going to do with the later picks. He's going to start jumping around to get an extra pick or two.
Well, like, apparently this is apparently a top-heavy draft. So you want to be he'll probably want to get into the because it's 1-9 and then not till what like the fourth round. He'll probably want to get into 2 or 3 somewhere. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm itchy about the defensive line because as good as Montez Sweat was, you know, the Packers didn't care and we didn't see him because they planned for him and they didn't have anyone who could make them pay.
Well, I'm good
planning
with the defensive
for Montez Sweat.
You know, like that's fine.
What's that?
I prefer a receiver. I'm good with the D line addressing it at 9.
Yeah, I'd rank it the same way you have wide receiver, defensive line. Offensive line in my orders of Spilkis.
Well, we know they're not going linebackers, secondary, or running back for obvious reasons. So,
John, you forgot to mention there's been out there that the Bears will trade up to get Tuesday Jr.
Yeah, fine. Huzzah!
Do it.
You do that, I'm not going to be upset about it. I wouldn't be mad about it.
If it takes the first next year to do it,
yeah, do it. I would do it.
Known quantity. They say he's the best player in the draft,
that
regardless
guy has
of position.
To Canton already, like you can just see it with him.
Yeah, he's gonna
and to the shooting range. Yeah, to the top golf
also,
out on
like,
the 80.
Okay, I mean, like, the NFL is not like the NHL or the NBA where if your first round picks after, like, 10, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
But right, I would like to think the Bears' first rounder next year isn't going to be that much, that valuable.
You'd correct. Hope not.
It can't be, not. Or we're starting over. Or,
right, or we're the Hawks.
And yeah. Everyone's fired.
And everyone's fired.
Everyone's fired. Big time.
Anyway, all right. John, what's the status of your wager with McClure about the White Sox?
Off the table.
Off, you took it off. Mm-hmm. Like,
just as long as you admit right now that you were playing the role of Johnny Kool-Aid and you misjudged this.
Yeah, Johnny Optimistic.
Johnny Optimisty?
No, Sox bet is off the table.
That's fine.
Sam, I took it off.
What about those first 17 games that were totally doable to get off to a decent start?
Well, that was when it was confirmed that Peter Griffin is officially a moron.
He might be the moron.
The moron, yeah, right. Not a moron, the moron.
He's given Boom Boom Bevington a fucking run for his money at this point.
Ooh, yep. And whoever else is on that list.
It's bad, you know.
I mean, they're bad, but there have been winnable games on their roster that he completely mismanaged. You know, not the ones where they're not scoring. Those are non-competitive games, which is also his fault, by the way. Like, you can't have this many non-competitive games and say, well, it's not the manager's fault for this. No, it clearly is.
I don't know. You're throwing Robbie Grossman and Kevin Pillar out there. Like, what the fuck do you think is going to happen?
Would you care to share with John what you shared with me before the show on Friday when Jesse Rogers was on with Waddle and Sylvie and the nuggets he had?
Why are you listening to that?
What do you mean?
Well, go ahead, Andrew.
You listen to Parkins and what's his face?
No, I just get transition. I turn it off.
Andrew, what?
As soon as Bernstein and Lawrence go off the air, I'm done.
He was talking about Reinsdorf and how they can't fire Peter Griffin because it would cost too much money, even though he's the lowest paid manager in baseball by far.
He
makes like less than $1 million a year.
Yep.
So they're going to keep him for that reason only. But then he talked about how part of the reason why he can't afford to buy him out is that Jimenez, Moncada, and Robert all went on the DL, and they have to pay for the guys who came up to replace them. Because that's more
Stop.
Salary.
Stop.
This is what he said.
If that's what's holding you back, you shouldn't be owning a Major League Baseball.
He shouldn't be owning a Major League team.
So let me next step this then. Is that why they are playing shorthanded so frequently over the last 3 or 4 years?
Yes, he mentioned that as well. It's like
they're reluctant to put a guy on the actual DL or bring him back or whatever.
Save some money. Yeah. The quote they use, John, and maybe you've heard this one because you've heard a lot of Reinsdorf quotes, I'm assuming at this point. Just because someone else in the league pays for a second baseman, why do I have to? Something like that. Do you know that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not trying to bust your balls about this. This genuinely pisses me off, and I don't even care. But it upsets me.
I know. It should.
It's a joke.
It is.
Like, you have the finger on the pulse of White Sox Nation.
I think I've lost it, Sam. I think the OPPs have taken over, but go ahead.
The people on Twitter are fucking weird. White Sox fans are weird.
Because what John just, what Slack just said, and what, like, everyone, this isn't a secret about Reinsdorf. Everyone knows what the deal is with Reinsdorf.
Correct.
Why does anyone care?
About the Sox, like, and any game, anything they do?
Right, because, like,
I haven't watched a second this year.
Because, like, okay, they draw 4,000 a game. Why are those 4,000 there?
No, they draw more than 4,000. Well, did you see on
because they're all sex perverts in the 108.
First of all, John, we've got the first few nice days in the city, so obviously people are going to be like, let's go to the game.
Well, okay, let's
campfire just, milkshake, buddy.
Go ahead, Andrew.
I was going to say the second part is their own announcer, who is an AI robot, said on the air he's heard on message boards, and I swear to fucking God, he said the word message boards, which makes me wonder what kind of perverted message boards this fucking guy.
I don't want to dig any deeper.
In 2024, you're on message boards? Okay, so this guy's on message boards reading, and he's saying this during a broadcast of a game, that people, according to the message boards he's on, are going to the Sox game to get the milkshake, and he stopped right before saying, and then leaving. In other words, people don't give a fucking shit about the team or the game. They're buying a ticket to get this milkshake and then leave.
There's only 400 for sale every
game. I read the whole article about the fucking campfire milkshake today, John. Okay. They talked about it, yes.
Okay.
Is Comiskey Park the only place you can get a milkshake on the south side?
Not a campfire milkshake.
That specific one, yes.
I mean, it's just a big chocolate shake, right?
They like hand dip everything.
Campfire milkshake sounds like a Guided by Voices album.
Okay. If they only make 400 a game, at what point in the season will they not sell out?
Oh boy, that's a great question.
Sam, you asked me what my the pulse of the Sox fans. I've completely lost that pulse. The OPPs are everywhere now. They'll go to games just to go, to buy a fucking milkshake, to yell at Peter Griffin. I don't know.
Do they yell at Peter Griffin? I think you're the only one yelling at Peter Griffin.
I sat by a woman last year on Mother's Day, and at this point, the Sox were basically already dead and buried. And she was living and dying with every pitch. Like, well, I miss Jose Abreu. Shit like that. It was insane.
I miss Jose Abreu, too.
He's hitting like 060. He's horrible.
Slow starter.
Trust me. You would not want him on the team anymore.
No, I know. I'm just he's a
Latin guy. He's no good till it warms up in Houston.
He's a Latin guy.
I'll tell you, those Latin guys, they don't walk.
Yeah, but it gets hot in Houston in fucking February.
Tell you what, Stone Pony, you can't walk your way off the island.
Mm-hmm. Boy, Stone Pony, I tell you what, real surprise, some of those Latin guys, kind of funny sometimes.
You know, I don't know if you guys saw it, but is he the president of the Illinois Senate? Basically, had told Reinsdorf, "You're not getting shit from the state." Oh,
nice.
Suck me, beautiful.
Yeah. So maybe they can get enough from the state. I don't know. Where does it? Because like, you've put this team that insults everyone's intelligence on the field.
It like, is. It's an insult. It's,
so that Bathurst billionaire can get paid.
I swear to God, I put the games on purpose because I want to hear what this dumb fuck announcer says every game. He's dominant performance from Garrett Crochet. He gave up 5 earned over 4. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? It's crazy.
Ozzie He's like, can't well,
they're
say
playing
his last
a
name.
Fun brand. They're playing a fun brand base. Yeah, Ozzy probably doesn't want to know his last name. He never will.
No, Ozzie's that's what he said in the post game show. Like, Ozzie said in the post game show, he kept calling him John, and Chuck's like, John who? And he's like, you know, John. And finally, Garfine's like, Schifrin? And he's like, I can't say his last name. He's just John.
It's incredible. And
I don't watch any of the games. I tune in for the post game.
I need you to see this guy. I need you to hear him talk.
Oh, no, I hear, Andrew.
I don't know how long Steve Stone is going to put up with this before he's putting a bullet in his own fucking head. I swear you can tell in his voice. He'll do stuff like during a game, he'll stop in the middle of a thing and say, he'll ask Steve Stone a question, like deferring to Steve Stone and his infinite wisdom. And he'll say, you know, you get a couple hits together.
Are you just watching this for intel to needle your mother-in-law?
A streak is good, right? Right, Steve? A streak of hits in a row? That's good, huh? It's like a puppy dog. It's insane. No, I'm getting a sick enjoyment out of it because I think this guy is like a test or some kind of, you know,
AI bot.
Manchurian candidate. He's sending Morse code to people. They're going to kill the president.
He didn't go to many baseball games because he grew up middle class.
Even the guy that they wanted to do this, fucking Mike Monaco, wanted no part of this horse shit.
You know what? The Sox announcer, I guarantee you, the only way he hears music every year is by Obama's Spotify playlist. He's that kind of a guy. I can't think of a better way to describe him than that.
John, I'm gonna ask you this because you're the only clear-eyed person I know about this. Okay. Yes, Matt, that includes you. When all is said and done, in 5, 10 years, however long it takes, what would you set the percentage at that this ends with the White Sox in Nashville?
Zero.
Zero. Not gonna happen. Zero.
Not happening.
It'll sell first, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he has any intention of selling. He'll die first.
What happens when he dies? What's the plan?
Then they sell.
The kid?
He has said, the reason I want this new stadium is so that when I die and my kids sell this team,
oh, he did say that. More. Okay.
Because he's convinced that, well, it's not just his kids, it's his partners. Like, don't like 40 people own the White Sox?
Yes, one of whom likes blasting rails with Clevenger, and that's why he's on the fucking team.
That's why he's on the team.
We didn't even have a chance to get at that. God damn it.
Maybe, well, let's not. Maybe that's when George Lucas comes in and saves everyone from themselves. Hmm.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope.
I mean, I'd like to sit here and say, like they're already lining up one team to move to be a complete basket case, which is the A's.
Nightmare. Mm-hmm. Nightmare.
And you'd like to think that somewhere amongst the ownership group would be like, why would we let a team move from the third biggest market to the 30th, that whatever Nashville is?
Like, makes no sense.
Why would we do that? Why would we let that happen?
We're well, Nashville doesn't even want team. A team, though, Sam.
They
the
want
city
an expansion
of Nashville
team.
Is the same as Chicago. They do not want a team.
Or they well, don't, they want they an don't expansion want to build a team. Stadium they don't want for them. Yeah, they don't want to pay for a stadium.
Right.
Also, Nashville's hot as balls in the summer.
They have a team anyway. They got a minor league team, don't they?
I believe
the Sounds
they
or whatever.
Aren't isn't that the Cardinals? AAA.
No, it's Cardinals the Brewers. Is Memphis, isn't it?
Yeah,
Cardinals Memphis. Is Memphis. You're right.
The Sounds
Memphis
are
Redbirds.
The Brewers minor league affiliate.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I guess maybe I don't know.
It doesn't have to make sense, Sam.
It doesn't.
It just is.
Speaking of things I don't have time for, it's people complaining about how the minor leagues have been ruined by their contraction. Just shut the fuck up. They don't have time. I know it's me being a big city snob, but that's what I am, and I don't care. Anyway, all right. Interest of fairness, do we have any Cubs issues we need to discuss?
Nope.
I feel like Kyle Hendricks is finished, Slack, and it makes me very sad.
Oh, he's finished.
He is, like, done.
He's just throwing meatballs
I've
there.
Seen the pictures, yeah. By the way, fucking Slack's beautiful boy Cody is fucking cheeked up out there.
Yeah, he's hanging dong, hanging brain, whatever you want to call
well,
it.
Well, as long as he was on base once.
He's hit the ball hard today, so he might be turning things around, which
yeah,
is good.
Just like that guy that cut in Bull Durham. Yeah, I don't know. Even if I don't have Cubs leadings anymore, the idea of Kyle Hendricks getting DFA this year or something like that makes me very sad.
Hopefully they just make up an injury or something.
I mean, that's what they're going to do to start with, right? Like, oh, they're going to do the, hey, you're hurt. Like, you're hurt. Get on the IL.
Yeah.
They'll send him back to Arizona for whatever it is people do in Arizona while this baseball season has started.
They leave and they go to Salt Lake.
Right. Very good. But, you know, it's not even like you can reinvent him as a reliever. It's not like, okay,
no,
it's not like
no.
Some starter where you're like, all right, just come on and blow it out for 20 pitches. You can't
low
do that. Like,
leverage
this is it,
bulk relief.
Nah.
You're talking mop-up duty.
Not even. Yeah, he's as good as a middle infielder coming in to throw the ninth.
At this point, yeah, it's bad. Oh, so sad. But I guess it was always going to end like this. It wasn't like he had a huge margin for error.
Yeah.
All right. Well, is it time for the Cretans?
I believe so.
Let's do it. Excited.
All right. At Bedard underscore Haver, formerly DeBrinket Haver, who is currently going by the moniker plus minus Turbo Virgin.
Hey, before you get there, Matt, is it time to declare Alex DeBrinket a yeah, but who gives a shit guy?
It's there.
Yes. I'm on that train. Who cares? 29 goals or something?
27.
27 goals? No, that's not cutting
for,
it.
For 8 mil, though.
That stinks. That stinks, dude.
Still yet to play. Still yet to be on a real playoff
that's
team.
That's ass. And it's wasn't that the whole reason they signed Kane? To juice him up?
Yeah.
They didn't even play him with Kane after like 10 games.
That's horrible. Fuck that. Enjoy.
Anyway, I'm sorry to bring Kit Haver or Bedard Haver. Let's get back to your question.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of to bring it there. Sorry, buddy.
Loudest you've ever booed at an event, sports, music, or otherwise?
Well, John will be happy to know that Slack was yelling fed bitch at a wrestler on Friday. I don't know if that's the loudest Slack's ever been. I think I've heard him louder, but it was close.
It's definitely getting kicked out of that playoff game was the last.
Yeah, getting kicked out of your 2000.
I got a bunch of side eye when we did the Fire Red Stars doubleheader last year, and I just yelled at the top of my lungs, "Lori, you suck."
Lori, yeah, Lori Lightfoot was there, and Matt let her have it. Loudest I've ever booed.
I don't really boo. Well, Sam, that's because you're just a nice guy. Yeah. the loudest I ever booed was the 2016. Cubs Sox game where the Sox signed some guy from the Japanese league and he was throwing a no hitter through like six innings. He hit a home run and the Sox were winning 1-0 and Ventura completely screwed the pooch. And the Cubs proceeded to pour on 12 in the last two innings. because he left that pitcher out there for about 12 batters too long. And
there's another amazing manager in your history. Jesus
I forgot, I've totally forgotten Robin Ventura had managed the White Sox. When,
so is
when
he.
Robin came to give him the hook, I booed as
he
loud
was so
as,
bad.
As anybody has ever booed.
I remember my ex laughing at me pretty hard for yelling at Chris Versteeg for taking just an incredibly dumbass penalty in like game two against the Canucks in 2010. Because it was like a penalty he tried, he like attempted.
Was it the
take,
game
like,
he redeemed himself though after the.
Yeah, he ended up scoring the winning goal, but like it was like one of those things where like he tried
it's
to hook the
Versteeg.
Guy. He tried to hook the guy two times before he got called for hooking. Like, he just kept going at it. I was like, what are you fucking doing?
Right after the incident, I gave it to Semyon Varlamov pretty good.
Yeah, pretty hard. I'm trying, man, this is a tough one. I remember yelling at Lou Piniella for bringing in Bob Howry once.
Bob Howry?
Oh, yeah. Brown Spot Bob, as we called him.
Yeah, he brought in Bob Howard specifically to face Carlos Lee. The first
two
pitch,
Sox
like,
legends, right there.
The first pitch, like, landed in the lake.
I hate Carlos
like,
Lee.
It was like
El Caballo.
Like just like immediately, like everyone knew it was gonna happen, and then it happened. Man, yeah. I got Daryl Strawberry to flip me off for chanting rehab at him in the bleachers.
You were like 6 years old, too.
I was like seven, yeah. So those are the answers. Anyway, taking too long. Let's move along.
Oh, I got one.
Oh, please.
Throw a strike, you bitch, at Dallas Keuchel.
No, I got a question from a listener. Text edition.
Okay, please.
This is from Billy. In light of the end of NBCSN coverage of the Hawks, what is their best broadcast moment during that time? My honorable mention, Dan Rohn mixing up Hockey Fights Cancer with Hockey Fights Canada multiple times in one intermission.
But that's WGN.
Yeah, that's yeah, the wrong.
That's
the
why
wrong
it's honorable mention.
My favorite Dan Rohn moment of
it's
late.
Still really good.
My favorite
Hockey Fights Canada is pretty great. I have to admit.
My favorite Dan Rohn moment of late was him going on when Lawrence still had the solo afternoon show and just 20 minutes of just being an angry old piece of shit bitching about how WGN doesn't have anything, have any sports anymore and how they did such a great job. And then we hear, you know, you juxtaposed with that anecdote right there. Like, Dan, you always suck.
Hockey Fights Canada.
I suppose since he asked last week and then we banged the show, Killian did have a Cretan question last week too.
Wait, hang on, we're not done with our favorite NBCSN moments.
How am I supposed to know what happened on NBCSN? When did they start?
I remember us doing the whole show about how Hockey Fights Cancer Night turned into Eddie Olczyk defeated cancer worldwide night. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, there was so much. I mean,
I got one. They blocked me on Twitter.
Of course they did.
So there you go. I still can't look at their tweets to this day.
That's fantastic.
Does that include the Comcast era too, or no?
Yeah, this was back when they just changed the handle to NBC Sports.
What did you do to get blocked by a whole channel?
I was tweeting disgusting things about Dan Carcillo to them, so it's probably deserved.
I don't. I don't know.
The top moment has to be Layla reading Wet Butt 23 and Katy Perry's booty hole on air, right?
Well, that wasn't a Hawks intermission. Or
that
a
wasn't
Hawks.
No, that was Sox
it's a great
pre and post.
NBCSN moment.
Yeah. It's basic cable. They don't have to censor her. Kudos to her for fucking
the only time Layla was ever interesting. All right, what does Killian fucking want?
This is a Peter Griffin question. So he's rubbernecking at this, too. This was last week.
He's rubbernecking.
Everybody is. It's a thing, man.
If Peter Griffin can't be bothered by a total eclipse because there's baseball, in a game he lost 4-0, by the way, What level of astronomical wonder could get him interested, and how bad would the Sox have performed in that game?
John, all yours.
The Earth getting sucked into a black hole, which he would not also not be paying attention to, and the Sox would lose 6-4.
They wouldn't score four runs.
The Silver Surfer would herald Galactus's arrival. And Josh Naylor would still go 4-5 with four ribbies against
him. Oh, John would still be pissed off about it.
Absolutely.
He hates Josh Naylor so much.
Everyone does, Sam.
He is a tool.
He's a total tool. Is his brother a tool, too, or is he just a guy?
Bo? I don't even... Is Bo even in the majors?
Yeah, he's the catcher. On the team.
Oh, okay.
Bo Naylor doing the catcher, doing the catching.
Dear Lord.
Who's next?
All right, another longtime guy. Tecmo Bosso. This is boy.
You really cultivate a special kind of jackass, you know that? Yeah.
Oh, just you wait, Sam. You in sure. particular. Can we ban Liverpool much like you've banned the Saints?
Fuck off.
Oh, boy.
Also,
it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
It's not over yet. I mean, it's going to be, but it's not over yet.
Also, be honest. If you beat Tottenham to win the Champions League, does it even actually count?
All right, you're banned. You're banned.
How you like that?
Tecmo Bozo, you are fucking banned. Get out of here.
All right.
Get upstairs and get out of here.
Andrew?
Are we banning Liverpool? Is that the question?
Yeah. I don't even know who he supports, so he doesn't even get to talk about
this. No, obviously we can't ban Liverpool. They are my only real hope against Manchester City winning the title again, which they're going to, but I can't let Arsenal, you know, get in there.
What did you call Arsenal supporters last time we did this?
I don't know. What was it? Was it bad?
It's like human garbage or something. I forget.
They're awful. Horrible. For whatever reason, they're the most annoying ones.
I find them to be too, but...
I don't know anyway. What it is. I don't think about them that much when they're not playing Villa, but like... Even then, they're just so
but fucking, Sunday was
they're so arrogant,
good time
and then
for
they
you.
Just get so sad, like, oh, we're yep. all we do is lose. They finish like an average third every year.
Right.
It's just like, you fucking assholes. Anyway, they've never won the Champions League, so that's Arsenal for you, and they never will.
What's next?
Cliff Deitch in favor. Cliff Deitch Bank. In favor or against a play-in round for the NHL to have an outcome about the same as tonight? And we are
against
and ooh. All I got to say is 27 regulation wins.
Look how well that worked out for MLB.
There should clearly be fewer teams in the NHL playoffs. I mean, Jesus Christ.
I mean, like, the NHL playoffs, like, now, I mean, I don't got to say they're perfect, but the fact that, like, it cleanly cuts the league in half sounds about right.
People are still mad about the format. I see it all the time.
I mean, I would just go to the four divisions and get rid of these stupid wild card things.
Yeah, or just do 1-16.
Well, even 1-8 would make me happier than this.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Pick one or the other. Either it's four divisions or it's not, or it's two conferences or it's not. But this wild card thing, like, they did it. This is so hockey because they came up with this and, like, the players were like, well, wait. The other conference has seven teams, and this has
but now
eight
that's
teams.
Now that's 32.
But
yeah.
that's now that's evened out. So one or the other. But this whole we're competing against a team in the other division with the same playoff spot, but they play a different schedule. Just get out of here with that shit. 1-8.
And it's funny too, Sam, because you know the big reason why they wanted to go to this 2-3-1-4 format was to get that interdivisional rounds in again.
The rivalries.
But again, like,
right.
Yeah, the rivalries, but there's only two,
and it's not guaranteed to be divisional. Rivals. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The wild card fucks everything up. So
they
you might
did
as well
it,
just go 1-4 in the division.
John, you go 1-4, and you can hand out an extra banner. You can call yourself Central Division like postseason champions or whatever.
John, get it right. The reason they went to this is because they wanted Crosby and Ovechkin to play every year.
Have they
thought like, oh, we'll get a Caps Penguin series every year.
No, it's Rangers Caps every year.
No, you know what you're getting? You're getting more Rangers Capitals. Fuck you. That's what you're getting.
At least it'll only be four games this year. But the Capitals have served.
It never works out that way. You look at every time you think you look at a series and you're like, oh, they'll annihilate. It still ends up being 5-6 games. And Rangers Capitals will be 5 or 6 horrible games.
It's automatic. 6 to 7 games. 6 to 7 games.
The Capitals served their purpose. They can go out however they want to go out now. They can go out however they want to go out. That's got to be the worst goal differential of playoff team.
It's the worst
since Carlos Delgado.
It is. Our buddy Al was tweeting about this. I will pull it up for you. Where'd he go? Where's our buddy Al?
Smaglia?
Yeah.
Longtime guy.
What? Our totally longtime guy. Where is he? He was just tweeting about this.
Al goes back so far, he was an Eklund guy, for Christ's sake.
Caps make the playoffs with a -37 goal differential, the lowest differential by a playoff team since the league expanded to 22 teams in 91-92. That's how bad the Capitals are. And you know what? They're still better than the Red Wings.
By a mile. As you pointed out, your Devils and your Sabres, who were eliminated a week ago, have 6 more regulation wins.
More regulation wins. Get upstairs and get out of here. All right, lightning round. Let's rip through whatever we got left.
All right, couple more here. John's guy, Crypto Fartcoin. If you could trade places with any four Chicago professional athlete, who would it be? Otis Wilson, next question.
Yeah.
Ask and answer.
Ask and answer, counselor. OTIS. What's next?
Mama's boy. Mike Jacoby, have you guys checked out the new Fallout series yet? If
yes.
So, thoughts.
John and Slack are
extremely hyped.
I'm waiting to start it, but I'm excited.
What are you waiting for?
Emily.
My wife.
A valid excuse.
Yeah. Show you, John.
We whipped through it in 2 days. It's outstanding.
Look at you guys.
And tip of the hat to Amazon, the rare tip of the hat to Amazon for putting all episodes on demand immediately rather than doing this week-to-week bullshit.
While everyone's got Amazon Prime on their brain, they should watch Patriot. If you haven't seen Patriot, watch all of it.
Isn't Red Foreman in that?
Yes, he's incredible.
He's a great actor.
One of the best shows ever.
He's a great actor, but he still is the fucking Scientology ringleader.
I don't give a shit. I don't need to know him. Just do good stuff.
He's also the star of Fortress.
The shows.
Which we shouldn't, you know, greatest movie of all time. So, all right, one more.
All right, new guy, Tim Ryan.
Boston, good luck with the first crap.
Boston blew the last two to avoid Tampa. Changed my mind.
Well, I saw their fans freaking out, like, "Oh, we're playing like shit." Heading this doesn't matter.
No,
they're not winning shit anyway.
They make the playoffs every year. They don't know how this works yet.
I kind of lean towards Matt here. I think the Bruins are kind of a paper tiger.
Oh, what? The guy with their captain? Well, that couldn't be emblematic of anything.
I know what it's like to say I think the Leafs have a chance in the playoffs. Like, I get it, but, like, the Leafs are strong where the Bruins aren't. Are we still talking about top-line center Charlie Coyle?
I'm not.
No.
No, but is that what the Bruins are rolling with?
Apparently.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. Not happening. Go down for the count. Leafs in 6.
Wow, look at this. I can't let that happen, Sam.
They're gonna get an ass full of the Cats, though.
Yeah, and then the Leafs will get mauled by the Cats. I see what I did there.
I will be cheering for Boston. I'm sorry to say that is how.
No,
it's
you
be.
Go ahead and cheer for Boston. I'm not gonna be upset if the Bruins win, but like
it'll be hilarious if they're it's
yeah,
a no it's
a team
no
with
lose.
No centers is not going anywhere.
No matter who loses, it's gonna be awesome in that matchup.
Right. If you look at it that way, Slack, you can't lose. Like,
I don't really. I mean, Boston winning a series doesn't, or losing the series doesn't somehow make me like excited. I don't really care if the Bruins lose a series.
I do. Fuck them.
I don't really care if Toronto wins a series.
Well, it did last year, right?
Yeah,
It's not a huge deal. As long as it ends painfully in some way, I don't care where.
It will. Like, Toronto's not making the final. They're not beating Florida. I'm not buying it shoes, dude. Like, it's not going to happen.
It's not taking your turn. I'm not buying
it. It's not taking your fucking turn. Like, you know, so. Because they don't have a blue line. But, like, this Bruins thing is, like, specifically set up to spit up all over itself at the first hurdle.
And we can't wait.
All right. The NHL website does not have like a playoff preview page anywhere on it. What a stupid website. What is this? What is wrong with this thing?
Probably because the season hasn't ended yet, Andrew.
No, but they could have like a here's how it would be. Here are the matchups right now. Yeah. I feel like ESPN always used to have those.
Just follow Gentile. He'll tell you every day. He loves telling you.
He'll tell you every day.
At least he's leaning into that bit, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there isn't a bit Gentile isn't leaning into. So, all right. Before we do the particulars, Slack and I will do some shameless self-promotion. We will be doing an AEW Dynamite preview on Wrestling
Dynasty.
Sorry. It's always Dynamite. Dynasty for Sunday. We will be doing a preview on Wrestling Brain with our friend Mr. 50K, Josh. Josh O.C.
No
Zoobs? On Friday?
No Zoobs?
Nope. No.
No Zoobs. I will be playing the bald bearded guy. Slack, I assume it'll be up on Friday?
Yeah.
YouTube channel?
I believe so.
So, Wrestling Brain's YouTube channel, check that out on
Friday. They're putting Sam on camera?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Looks that way.
Better get that background picked out.
Yeah, better. Keep an eye out for that. I'm really excited about it. Josh is an awesome guy, knows his shit, and Slack, you know, is Slack.
So, and he's coming in down, so we're going to have to pep him up for the show.
Yeah, he's not as excited as we are.
He's iffy on it, yeah.
We'll take care of that, because right. You and I are very excited.
Oh, yeah, shit, the Canucks are playing the Predators, the fucking Dan Hamhuis Cup.
Oh anyway, now that that's out of the way, for Slack, for John, for Matt, I'm Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, and share. We might be back next week, although maybe we'll wait till after the Bears draft to be hyped, and then we can put the Bears back in the box.
But Sam Slack will be in the old country, though.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not after next week he will be, but not next week.
Right. Correct.
We will see. Yep. Slack, if we wait till after the draft, after the draft, Slack will assuredly write us a manifesto that we read on air.
It's gonna sound like when they kept reading the same thing that Jay and Silent Bob wrote at the "We're gonna fuck your mothers while you watch and cry like little whiny bitches." They're gonna make them eat our shit that's made up of our shit.
Maybe we'll be back next week with like initial NHL playoff thoughts. I don't know. Depends on what we're feeling.
Those are
this is how
fun.
We work, guys. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna be trying to watch a little
I'll
bit.
I'll be watching.
Yeah.
This is the first NHL playoffs in 15 years I have no professional responsibility for.
That's excellent.
But I do have some responsibility. This podcast, I will tell you what I think.
Great.
So, all right then. So until then, top guys out.